This is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. Yes, and we are still in the month of February, meaning that we're rocking the Blackity Black movie reviews.
Yep, and this week we're doing all Netflix movies.
Oh, yeah.
Starting out with Ma Rainey. And I'm just going to apologize now. We have Santa Ana winds out here, unlike the rest of the country that's getting snow. So my voice is a little scratchy because of allergies.
Getting that dust cutting through. How bad is it, like, where you're? I mean, it calmed down a bit in Hollywood, but is it still crazy?
It's still crazy over here, and it probably didn't help that I went on a hike this morning. So even though I'm masked up the entire hike, like, it just gets into your lungs. So
totally. Yeah. Especially winds that heavy. It's gonna get in there one way or other.
But I feel like my scratchy voice fits in perfectly with Ma Rainey's black bottom.
Good segue.
So Netflix released this movie at the end of 2020, December 18th, right before the Christmas break. And it is based on an August Wilson play that I believe it was his first Broadway play that he had. And although this is a fictional story, it is based on a true real life person. Ma Rainey, it was a real blues singer back in the early 1900s, 1920s. First black artist to really record an album.
Yeah.
And considered the mother of all blues.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, interesting, getting into her backstory, because it said it's funny, when you look at Wikipedia, she was born anywhere between 1882 and 1886, which is common for African-American people at the time, because, you know, they didn't have birth certificates and things of that nature, so they have to kind of guesstimate a little bit.
That's still common for even people that are still alive today, going up all the way into the 30s and 40s, because a lot of black people couldn't go to hospitals, so they weren't getting the birth certificates. They don't know exactly when they were born unless the family actually documented it somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is like in states in Georgia, where they're demanding people have their birth certificate. It makes it harder for older black folk to get birth certificates so they can go vote.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, that whole okie doke, have black people voting. there we go. There's that okie doke. So she passed December 22nd, 1939. As Jim was saying, she's mother of the blues. She recorded with Louis Armstrong at a certain point and toured with the Georgia Jazz Band.
She helped some of the more famous blues singers that we think of get their start, or toured with them, so introduced them to the larger audiences. And so she really helped them grow their careers. She ended up not becoming, because she was more of the vaudeville, old school blues versus the new school 1920s blues jazz. She was actually pushed to the side a little bit and ended up, I think, just running a bar or something in her later life before she died.
Some kind of establishment a little small bar or a place that before she ultimately passed away. It's funny, her her life is very almost enigmatic a little bit, because I knew of the play of, you know, August Wilson, because, you know, August Wilson is August Wilson, and people who know not anything about August Wilson's work. You're fronting like you know American literature, but you don't, if you don't know anything about August Wilson or his plays or his work. So I knew something, I knew of Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, like the play, but out of all his plays, like Fences, I really knew, which later on became a movie with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis, you know, who plays Ma Rainey in this particular movie. It's just interesting how, you know, Viola Davis is staying on the adaptation of August Wilson, and she should keep doing it because she's so amazing, and she brings so much of everything in her roles, let alone an August Wilson character.
So August Wilson did, it's called, I believe, the Philadelphia series. Mm-hmm. It's seven plays, each one taking place in a different decade. And of the Philadelphia series, because he was living in Philadelphia at the time, this is the only one that doesn't actually happen in Philadelphia. It takes place in a recording studio in Chicago.
Yeah, which is very interesting how he, you know, the location he chose, like you said, being in Chicago and not, you know, Philly or any place like that.
But her first recording did take place in Chicago, so he was sort of basing it on real life.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. It's very, you know, like, I think we were talking about how, you know, music, like Black music, or like Black, pretty much American music, right? Which was kind of the cornerstone of generations and things like that. But, you know, it's the Black artists that really made the sound for labels to package it, repackage it, and, you know, make it a sound that, quote, is theirs, right? And I go back to when we recorded Sylvie's Love, like how her like husband or love interest was trying to kind of like make his footing in like American, like in the jazz scene, but was then faded out. And also, I guess one of the managers was like, well, we don't want anything you have because things are shifting. But you can take this particular story as kind of like the root of that whole like theft. It's like, okay, well, things are shifting, but we're going to take the art and make it ours while you just fade in the background. You know, that's kind of what happened with Elvis. Well, Big Mama Thornton was pretty much the sound of Elvis Presley. Then Elvis became Elvis.
Well, even when we recorded One Night in Miami, there's a whole dialogue of Sam Cooke in there talking about how, you know, he finally figured out how to take advantage of the white man in music is that you continue to own the rights of the music. And he talked about selling a song to the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. So that they could record, you know, Black music. And a big scene in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom is the character played by Chadwick Boseman, Levy, mm-hmm. Selling his music to the producer and them giving only wanting to give him $5 versus letting him record it and actually make the money off of it that way. So,
yeah,
it just. Yeah, it took decades for the Black artists to figure out how to take advantage of the situation or win the situation.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and it's funny how you can link these two movies, like you said, to you know, Sam Cooke and what he was doing with his artists and this particular movie that pretty much is a springboard of like the music industry and how, you know, the exploitive nature of the music industry in America was, especially with, you know, black artists. Like Jim said, Chadwick, his last performance before he tragically passed away, you know, played, you know, Levy, this young Trump with trumpeter, right?
But,
yeah. Not just young, kind of brash, kind of shit talking, you know, fast talking, trumpeter with aspirations of, you know, doing his own thing, his own band. You know, he was talking to the manager of Ma Rainey, like, hey, you know, I got some songs, you know, look them over. I can really, you know, make your label awesome with the band I got in my back pocket. So that's like pretty much the bulk of the play slash movie. And then you intercut it with actual like Ma Rainey and her niece.
It was her nephew and then her lover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the nephew, right. The nephew and the, right, exactly. Yeah, because she was bisexual, yes. And funny, like, I actually need to go back and listen to some of her songs because they were saying it was a lot of her songs were talking about, like, her bisexuality.
Bisexual, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, she was kind of a trailblazer, you know? Like,
she was part of the LGBTQ community before that was
exactly. Yeah, we gotta give her props, you know, like, yeah. She didn't hide it, she was who she was, and she demanded whatever she needed, you know, despite the fact, you know, and it showed in a lot of the scenes, because you have the managers kind of like, hey, Ma Rainey, you know what, can you record, are you ready? And you know, she was, nah, I ain't ready. I need a Coca-Cola. I'm not going to get on until I get a Coca-Cola. Go give me a Coca-Cola. You give everybody else a Coca-Cola. Y'all make sure all these other white artists are nice and ready. I want a Coca-Cola. It's hot. You know, so like her stubbornness, but you understand where it comes from, you know.
Yeah, so for folks that aren't familiar with August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Fat Bottom, it is about a afternoon recording session in 1920s Chicago where Ma Rainey's band were introduced to them at the beginning of the play. And then over the course of the movie, it's tensions rise between Ma Rainey, her manager, Ma Rainey, and the band members, and then amongst the band members, and then also making sure that her nephew and her lover are also included in the story in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because Ma Rainey's nephew had a stuttering problem, and she wanted him to like introduce the song, like recording. But he had a stuttering problem, so it was like take after take after take after take, and you can see everyone's getting a little frustrated. But it shows how like stubborn Ma Rainey was and like what she wanted. Like she wanted her nephew to open the song up, to introduce the song, like nobody else. And everyone had to kind of stop in their tracks and wait until she got what she wanted. And that's what was really striking about, you know, her scenes. It's like everyone had to like stop for her. They had to like wait till she got what she wanted, and then everyone can go for it type thing.
Right. And I mean, just like looking at it from 2021 eyes, as an artist, that's hard to do. But then you put yourself in 1920s black woman's shoes.
Yeah.
That absolutely incredible that she was able to, whether it's part of the play or true life, demand what she wanted. So that was very impressive to get that.
Exactly. Like you said, 1920s. I mean, especially you telling these, you know, these white men that are given you know, you money to do a job. Yeah, it's just telling them what's what. Yeah, that was like, what? But that's the thing. Like, she knew her worth. And that, I think it was a piece of dialogue when she was saying, like, hey, they're making money off of me. They know my, they know I could deliver. Like, that's why I can, you know, like, talk to them however I want to talk to them, because they need me. Like, once I'm not needed, then, you know, they'd throw me in an alley somewhere, you know. So, but yeah, it was very striking, you know, kind of watching those scenes.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell, like, her manager and the sound engineer knew that, it was magic in a bottle to get her to record her. And so they had to keep her happy, because at the end of the day, like, they did want her voice so that they could make a killing and fatten their wallets and everything.
Exactly. Even though we know, like, the bigger picture, she's probably still getting stiffed. I'm sure she still wasn't getting paid her full, like, you know, comeuppance per record. I'm sure they gave her money, but probably in our standards of negotiation, like, she probably was still getting, you know, pennies.
Right.
Yeah.
50 cents on the dollar. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like I said, we get her cut with Levy's characters for Chadwick Boseman to have a final performance. I mean, wow.
So a couple things about his performance. He plays, he looks so young in this movie. And then you think about, he was extremely sick, and I think he died not too long after they wrapped filming on this.
Yeah.
So he was, like, so thin and young looking. I know he was in his 40s, but he looks like a baby in the movie. Mm-hmm. Compared to, like, when we, like, how he looked in 42, the Jackie Robinson movie.
Yeah.
But he really position, like, he embraced this character so different from any other character I think we've seen him play, where he's so confident but at the same time broken. As he talks about how his mother was raped, and then his daddy went and tried to kill the 9 white men that raped his mom, raped and murdered his mom, it sounded like. And his dad killed 4 of them, but at the end of the day, they got him. And so he knows how to deal with white men, and, like, but at the same time, also not getting what he wants. So, yeah, he did an amazing job in this film.
Yeah. I mean, and knowing, you know, well, he's not here with us anymore, but like you said, like, the performance, like, when the actor, like, okay, of course, it's based off a play, and of course, like, you have beats that you can follow, right? Like, in play style. But it's a testament to not only his performance, but August Wilson's writing and play, how with that monologue and that other monologue he did, that just peeled back so many layers of his character. Because at first, he comes off as an asshole, right? It's like, like, this young kind of, you know, yeah, brats, like, he knows everything. He's, like, making fun of the older bandmates, and, you know, so I'm like, oh, you don't know anything and stuff like that. But when they say certain things to him that strike a chord with, you know, Levy internally, he start, you know, lashing out. But when he's lashing out, it's almost like a confessional about him, like, and the layers of torment and trauma and stuff like that black men went through in that time, but yet have to maintain themselves as a creative person, as an artist, as a person that's trying to establish themselves in this system that do stuff like that to us on a constant. So yeah, it was such a, like a mind blown, like, how he went about, you know, those, especially those two monologues he did. It was just like, wow. I honestly, I was, I got a little allergies around eyes when he delivered a couple of them, because I mean, it was just like he had rage and he had, but then it was like so much sadness when he was, you know, talking about his mom, but it was cloaked in his rage and frustration. But between all of that, you can kind of feel like how sad he was, you know.
And like through those monologues and those scenes, it felt like he was a Southern black man speaking to Northern black men that maybe hadn't experienced the same thing. And so they kept talking down to him that he was, oh, you're just this young musician. You don't know what life is. And he's like, actually, I've lived more life than you guys have. I've just done it in a shorter time. Right. And so these monologues were really about educating them that, you know, don't take me for granted just because I'm young.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And we're on the same boat, like together, you know. And yeah, and it was an interesting, you know, old versus young dynamic, and, you know, the subject of like religion. And it's like in that, I think they were in the basement or something. They were waiting and practicing, something like that. It's like they were covering so many things, so many subjects, and they're bickering and arguing and, you know, something like that, that it was, wow. I mean, any writer now probably couldn't know how to navigate all of those subjects in one room, nonetheless.
Within like 20 minutes of the movie, we hit on that he's probably an atheist because God didn't come and protect his mom. We find out that his mom was raped and murdered. His dad was probably murdered.
Yeah.
We also find out that he thinks that he's better than everyone, is obviously very talented. You have the older black men speaking down to him because he's just a young up and comer that doesn't know his place. And
Glenn Turman. I mean, everything he's in is okay. For people who don't know Glenn Turman, well, this is how I remember. He was in A Different World. He was like the Sergeant ROTC guy in A Different World. That's like how people my generation really knows him from. But throughout the years, he's been doing all these amazing projects. And yeah, he was just so good as the old man that eggs on the young. But as the story progresses and how everything starts to unravel, he starts to become the concerned father at a certain point of the movie towards Levy. When he was really seeing Levy's trauma and sadness, it just started slowly shifting into like the concerned dad of this young man, that I thought was just really powerful and really tragic at the end. I mean, if you haven't seen this movie or read the play, you know, it's a tragic ending.
A lot of folks may recognize him from The Wire. He was Mayor Clarence.
Yes. Keep forgetting he was in The Wire.
In The Wire.
Yes. I keep forgetting he's in The Wire. Because all these black Brits are in The Wire. Not just playing.
I mean, there are, but there are also some American blacks in there.
Yeah. My man, he's American.
That entire scene where it's just him and the white detective going back and forth saying fuck. The best scene ever.
Yes. Oh man, that's the best. Just look at fuck. Like,
5 minutes of two people having a conversation, revealing everything about a murder, and the only word said is fuck. And it is brilliant.
Yeah. Why that episode did not get like nominated for anything, I would never know.
Seriously.
Oh Lord. Yeah.
That's our Wire sidebar for the day. Yeah. Go find a fuck scene.
Yes. You can see it on YouTube. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Sidebar. It's not really a sidebar, but kind of in addition to, so Denzel Washington, I think, executive produced this movie as well as Fences, which was the other August Wilson adaptation. Now, there, Denzel Washington, I forget which was a Hollywood Reporter, I'm not sure, but he was saying that his priority is to bring all of August Wilson's plays into movie adaptation, like, so people will know his work.
It's like, so on Netflix, there is a like behind the scenes documentary of Ma Rainey, and there's a bunch of interviews with Denzel Washington. I didn't watch it, but it is added to my watch list.
So. Yeah, and I think on Netflix, I believe on Netflix, there's like an August Wilson documentary itself. I think I have to check that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he because a lot of August Wilson's plays, a lot of black actors like did like back in the day. I think Angela Bassett was in one, like a play, and you know, of course Denzel was in a lot of his August Wilson plays and things like that. So a lot of the older black actors, that's like their Bible. I mean, they were in August Wilson plays, so they know like his genius. So like, it's just, it's good that Denzel is like want to keep that going and definitely bring it into movie form, because all his stories are very interesting. The characters are very three-dimensional, and the subject matter, you know, about the black experience from these different perspectives. Ma Rainey being from a musical, American music perspective. Yeah, it's very unique, you know?
Yeah. Yes, August Wilson plays are probably the few places where they feel like the producers or directors of a lot of things are like, yes, we'll cast a black actor in here, even though you shouldn't consider the skin color when casting, unless it's like a white slave owner, then maybe don't cast a black actor.
I'm cool with having a black slave owner. I mean, let's recast that all day. I like to see some black slave owners that have some plantations. I'm cool with that. We can recast it. Let's do it. Sure. Hey, yeah, that's one thing I would champion for that. anyway, what are you saying?
So it makes sense that a lot of the actors got their start doing August Wilson plays and work. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So our rating, quarantine grounded, non-flying rating, corona rating system goes, chilling at home, kick your feet up. You know, it was a good, you know, viewing experience while you locked down. Put your shoes on, contemplating going outside, meaning that I might watch this movie, but then again, there's other things that I think I probably would do. I'm on the fence. And go outside, meaning that I would rather go outside and get corona, COVID. I'm sorry. I don't know. Is it? Are we still calling it corona, or are we calling it COVID? COVID.
Right. Oh, sure. We can call it whatever.
COVID Rona. I'd rather go outside and, you know, try to embrace that than stay in and watch this movie.
I'm going to guess it's sitting on the sofa for you.
Yeah.
I mean, so for me, this is not the normal type of movie I would watch, just because, like, I watch TV or movies to escape from reality, not to be hit in the face. And after sitting at home watching TV for a year and not having interactions with real life, I need more escapism than normal. But I mean, this is definitely sit on the sofa. It's an amazing movie, amazing acting, Viola Davis just absolutely kills it
yes.
as Ma Rainey. It has been nominated for a Golden Globe. I'm sure it'll be up for plenty of Oscars as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is a slow movie. I'm not going to lie. I watched the first 10 minutes and then went and took a nap and then came back and finished the movie because it is sort of quiet and slow, even though the conversations and everything are very intense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a slow build up to what's happening.
Yeah.
And like the slow build helps with the movie, unless you're really tired. It helps with the movie because it's building that tension between all of the characters and helps with how the ending, the end of the movie.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Definitely. Yeah, it's funny. Like, if you don't know, and to your point, if you didn't know that this was a play, yeah, it would be like, wait a minute, it's not really much happening. They still talking? Like, what they like? Wait a minute, we're like 8 minutes in the movie. They still arguing? They arguing? Like, we haven't cut away. We're not even in another scene. They still arguing? So I get what you said. Yeah. Yeah.
And I knew it was a play, so I was expecting that. But like, even though the movie is very good and amazing, I feel like just because I love live music, this is something that I would love to see in the theater with hearing, like feeling the vibration of the horns and someone doing Ma Rainey's part and singing.
Yeah.
I just feel like seeing that in a theater would be killer.
Agreed, man. Well, that's something to put on my bucket list if we ever open up stuff to play. yeah, I will be in front row. Yeah, absolutely right. Agree 100%. So yeah, you know, my rant is blackity black bottom on Netflix to view. Like I said, like Jill said, Viola Davis is Viola Davis as always, just crushing shit. Chadwick Boseman's last performance, the powerful, tragic, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he left us with a performance that, you know, a lot of actors should, you know, look at. Yeah, so we got to catch you guys Thursday with another blackity black one, Netflix, as Jenna will see it. Well, stay safe to Thursday and wish y'all safe travels and
wear a fucking mask.
Yes. Hey.